Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
He heard my Hey, ladies and gentlemen, all across the planet, this is Splendor's Real Talk Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. Splendor is coming up real soon after a couple of announcements. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is Splendor's Real Talk Radio Show with your host coming up, Splendor Styles. Hey, we want you, first of all, to follow Splendor on Facebook. Ladies and gentlemen, Facebook, Splendor Styles, to get more information about everything that she's doing, including this network as well. Also, too, the number, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not driving or flying your Learjet, you need to get this number out there right now because Splendor is live right now. I'm talking about right now. She is live coming up right now. Number out there. I guess I better give you the number, right? Hey, the number is 347-843-4559, ladies and gentlemen. 347-843-4559 is the number, and we're excited about you being here. Well, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we want to bring her up, but I think something, I don't know what's going on, man. Something's happening in the studio. Every time Splendor comes on, it's just something has to happen. I think we got a fire. I think the whole system is on fire because Splendor is getting ready to come on. Is there a fire? Is there a fire on the network somewhere?
Or back down. but we give what we feel is right. We give our opinion, our expertise. And then you may not necessarily agree with it, and it's all good. We love each other anyway. So beyond that. So also, I forgot to mention, I am on Instagram and LinkedIn under Splendora Style. So you can look me up there, get contact with me there, find me on those two media platforms. I'm working. I'm trying to get myself acclimated to this techno thing. Get it started. But we're gonna go ahead and pray because I know Greg can't stay too long, and I want him to really be himself that he does so wonderfully, and really put help the female listeners, with the topic. So we're gonna go ahead and pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much for this time of coming together, and thank you, Lord, for doing everything you're doing, everything you've done. Then through our lives, Lord, I thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us shall be condemned. Lord, I thank you for the topic tonight. I especially thank you because I'm a female, I'm an older female, and I've learned some things over the years. I've learned how to be a woman. I've learned how to appreciate a man, and I know that a lot of the things that we deal with and we're going through is because we don't know. And the word says, for without a vision, the people will perish. The lack of knowledge will perish. And I see that as the biggest problem here. So, God, I thank you for the topic. I thank you for my co-host, my guest, everyone that's going to participate over the next three shows. And I pray, God, as always, that whether the person's listening to it now, tomorrow, next week, next year, 10 years from now, I pray that they find some type of guidance, some type of deliverance, some type of healing, some type of nurturing, some type of foundation to get them on through this life, on through this journey to their destiny and their purpose for which you created them when you had them in mind. So, God, I just thank you. I praise you, and I look forward to a dynamic show. In the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray, amen. Amen. So, Greg.
Yes, ma'am.
How you doing, baby?
I can't complain. I'm glad to be in the mix tonight.
Amen, amen. You want to tell us briefly what you've been up to? With, like, I know you're doing a whole lot of stuff. I see you. I see you out there.
Lately I've been doing a lot of panel discussions that have been centering around, those who want to be married, the issues that surround relationships, the issues that surround singles, finding one another. I just did a singles conference about 2 weeks ago here in Durham. I'll be down in Atlanta in September speaking on the panel. So I got to keep rocking and rolling.
Amen. We're going out when you get here. We're gonna go eat. I hope you like seafood. Anyway, I am a seafood connoisseur. Okay.
I know that's right.
But, okay. I'll just decide. Tonight the topic is: are you in conflict with yourself as a woman, as a female? And what brought this topic to mind? Sundays, and for those of you who know, I'm a bartender and I'm a smoothie maker, and sometimes I combine those two depending on the audience I'm serving. And this particular market, just smoothies, and I met a gentleman there, and he does skincare products. Of course, they got my attention. Why? Because I do the same thing. I just don't sell them out in the pub or sell them to private people. But I gave him a compliment. I said, I really appreciate you doing this. I said, man, it's so smart. He said, huh. He said, I don't often hear that. I said, you don't often hear what? He said that men are smart. Most of the time, we're stupid, we're dumb, and this, that, and third. I said, well, that's because I think most women don't know who they are as women and who they're not as women. So therefore, they don't know who a man is as a man. She was like, wow, that's deep. And I thought about it. It was deep. So I'm like, yeah, that's pretty deep. Maybe we need to talk about it. You know, I look at women. I have daughters. I have three. Two biological. Amen. Yes. Two biological, one adopted, and I have three grandbabies, you know. Everybody's a girl. You know, for those of you who don't know, I lost my boys, you know, or would have five kids, but it is what it is. And I look at my daughters, they're three different women. They're three, and they came up in the same household with the same person in charge, and they turned out to be three totally different people. And I wonder how this one caught a particular lesson and the other one didn't. You know, it made me look at myself as a mom. It makes me look at myself as a mentor, as a teacher, now as an advisor, because everybody's over 21. So it's like you can't beat them to do the right thing or serve God or respect themselves or respect other people and make the kids, the grandbabies, look a certain way. You know, you can't beat them no more. You have to talk and pray and rest in the comfort that God is going to do it. But I feel like, for the most part, women are constantly in conflict with themselves being a woman because they don't know what that is anymore. Greg, what do you think about that?
I agree with you. A lot of women spend so much time trying to prove they can do everything a man can do, that they forget that they were made to do everything the man can't do. So the struggle becomes when they try to be, like you try so hard to prove that I can do everything a man can do, that sometimes you come off masculine. And then sometimes you come off as I'm in competition with you. And we don't realize that, you know, men may be competitive amongst themselves, but a man does not want to come home and compete with his woman. He does not. He wants peace. You know, and you mentioned about women sometimes not knowing who they are. That's very true. And especially when you consider, I'm just making a distinction between women of color. Women of color, a lot of times, allow society to define their role, define certain things for them, tell them what they should do, what they shouldn't do. Sometimes they really don't know, like you just said, they don't know who they are because they are being defined by sometimes the media, this ratchet television that's on, and you have a lot of women who gravitate towards doing what they think they should do to attract a certain type of man, which ends up being the wrong thing. I agree.
And that was my point exactly. Black women especially, you know, we are the foundation of the world. Whether we want to admit it or not, we're the most talked about, the most downtrodden of all races on this earth. It's always our fault. It's always us that have to come save the day. We're the reason this and the third. And it is mainly what we see on TV because nowadays, you know, and this is something that was started back in the 40s and 50s of separating the black family, the black man from his woman, from his family, to not be the foundation. You know, and they say, you know, they make fun of us, you know, the powers that be. Oh, the black woman is the pillar of the race. And they know in every race, the man is the pillar. You know, so we don't know how to be a man. You know, and some of us, you know, unknowingly by, you know, getting a divorce, and having to work to take care of my children by myself, I put myself in the position of a man because the kids had to be taken care of. They had to be fed. And a lot of us have had to be strong like a man. You know, I'm strong like a man, but I'm not a man. And somebody, you're not strong like a man. I deal with some of the same things. Maybe I don't deal with it the same way, okay?
Right.
But I deal with the same pressures a man deals with. With being the sole provider, with making the decisions that will affect other people's future and their lives. So in doing that, some women like you said, they don't know when to take the brakes off. They don't know when to not be this, because this is how they survive. This is how we eat. This is how we live. I've learned, praise God, how to be a woman around a man. Just like you said, be everything he's not. And I'm not your typical, that old school mold. I say it all the time, because I have been out here, and sometimes I want to come home and he's cooking for me. I want to know that, you know, I don't want to be your maid. I don't want to be your sex toy. I don't want to be your mama. I want to be your friend. I want to be your lover. I want to be your partner. I want you to know that you're a lion and I'm a lioness, and we're in this jungle together, and we're not competing with each other. We competing against the world. We're on the same team, you know. But a lot of men and women don't know how to defuse this bomb. You know, because we've been given a time bomb. If you think about it, you know, between school, television, things people say, and the perception of who we are as a people, as women, as men, we've been given a time bomb. And if you're defusing that bomb, you know, a bomb expert, he better know which wire to cut first. No, the red one or the green one or the blue one. You better know what you're doing. And a lot of us females, we are like time bombs. We argue, we fuss because we're hurt, because we're dealing with pressures that God did not design for women to deal with.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
I agree with you.
Go ahead, you can piggyback off of that, you know.
Yeah, when you talk about, you know, dealing with pressures y'all weren't designed to deal with, you're exactly right. And some of this stuff comes from what people don't look at is the way in which they connect with people. And I don't even just mean romantic, I mean period. Like,
period.
We don't look at, like, how you form friendships, how you form relationships, what kind of parent are you, what kind of daughter are you, what kind of sister are you. We don't realize that sometimes we connect with a lot of people in our life in a dysfunctional manner. And that dysfunctionalism ends up crossing boundaries, you know, in friendships, in sister to sister, mother to daughter. And we end up having so much dysfunction in our life that we don't know how to not be dysfunctional.
Hey.
So when you try to get in a relationship romantically, it really is a time bomb, because if you meet someone who may pique your interest, but you're used to dysfunction and he's not, and then you're expecting him to be like you, it's never going to work. And then when you got society telling black women that you're going to be alone, all black men are gay, or they're in jail, or are there more black men in jail than college? First of all, this stuff is not true, but we believe it because it speaks to our emotion. Right, we don't read. Exactly.
Don't read.
It speaks to our emotion. It speaks to our even our dysfunction. It feeds that. So we move forward in life.
Your fear.
Right.
It speaks to the fear of being alone. Yes.
So we move forward in life trying to break the cycle, but we can't. Because we believe the lie, and then we never check the fact that a lot of our relationships, romantically especially, are built out of pain, and we connect out of pain, out of dysfunction. So we don't realize that you may be a year down the line in this relationship, but you don't realize that I don't really love you. What my connection to you is. It's pain, it's hurt, dysfunction. I've been hurt, you've been hurt. So it's almost like we trust each other inside of the hurt. But if you try to change that and do better, now you have a problem, because what has become familiar to me is familiar, so I don't want to get out of this familiarity. So it's hard to break what you've been used to, even when it's dysfunctional.
Exactly. And that, you know, that the reason for those of you who are wondering, one reason it's hard to break from it is because the way God designed us, our central nervous system is like a massive computer. And whatever it's used to doing, eventually, you know, like they say, it takes 21 days to form a habit. That's just to get the habit going. It takes longer than that, of course, to establish it. So if you think about it, from the time you're born or a little girl and you live in chaos, and then someone, be it a friend, a sister, a sibling, or whatever, brother, whatever, comes to you in peace, you don't know how to operate. You haven't been programmed for peace. You've been programmed for chaos. And things can be peaceful, and then you'll just start something. And once you start it, you're fine. You're okay. Everybody's in upright. I have a sister like that. She doesn't know how to operate in peace. She's at least, I don't know, 16 years older than I am. So during the time she was coming up mainly with my brothers. So she had to fight a lot to create problems and stuff. And then in her relationship, though, thank God, the man she married knew how to defuse her. Thank God. You know, my sister-in-law, he's having to defuse my oldest daughter. She's having to defuse him, too. And they balance each other out. You know what I'm saying? Like, you might know how to do a hand grenade, and I might not know how to do a landmine. It's two different bombs, but we know what to do. And that's the thing. And a big part of being defused is knowing where you're weak. And being able to admit that, ladies, you have to know what it is that you need, what it is that you want. Then you can go and get the necessary components or pieces to that puzzle of your life. If you don't know, if you're going by what the media says, all black women are mad, and we're not. Black women are some of the happiest people ever. Either lights can be getting cut off, we're going to be outside barbecuing. All the lights off, so I got to barbecue. And we'll invite the neighbors. We are some of the happiest people. I don't care how bad it gets.
But you know, we even play on our own pain, too.
We do.
Yeah, we allow our pain to be exploited by each other. And, you know, what I mean is that, you know, we have got, you know, people who have made it as black people, you know, who are in the industry now, who are creating shows that are really hurting, especially black women. If you look at many of our reality shows,
who it hurts
mostly is black women.
But the sad
part about it, that whole Love and Hip Hop franchise, the saddest part about that is not just that it hurts black women because it paints them in a bad light, but the show has a black woman at the forefront as one of the creators.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is what is crazy, and what really upset me one time is that she was doing an interview with Mona Scott Young, and she says, well, I don't see that what we're doing is wrong because, you know, although these girls may appear a certain way on TV, I pay them well. So I'm like, wow, so you prostitute these women and
exactly.
saying that you're paying them well. So you they pimp and they make everything okay.
Exactly. That's exactly
so
what
my thing.
Does.
Yeah,
and
so as a black
her.
Woman. Say what now?
I say, and many with her. There are many social pimps out there.
Yeah, and it's crazy that, you know, when we have an opportunity to have a platform to change the culture, we sell out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that right there just speaks to the fact that a lot of black women and black men, as you said earlier, don't know who they are, and they will sell their soul for a quick buck.
Right.
And they will sell their people out. And that goes back to the fact that, you know, we have such disconnected from our heritage, our self-esteem, our image. You know, you got
everything.
When you have black women, and pardon the expression, but when you have black women, I'm a bad bitch. What is wrong with you?
Right. Right.
That you go from being a queen to that.
To a dog. And see,
now God forbid
Greg,
if.
Go ahead.
God forbid if a man on the street corner taking you out call you that, then he's you know, he cruel. But you calling yourself
right.
that, you dancing to the music calling you that. So it's like at the end of the day, it's the same thing with the N-word. You know, why is the N-word acceptable for us to use but offensive when somebody else uses it? I don't want to hear that argument about, oh, well, we've taken the term and flipped. No, you ain't flip it. That term is still negative. And to even think that you can take that and make it mean something else, you're ignorant.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I really do. And really, some of us have the habit of doing the wrong thing because we're just used to doing it. And when you do have a platform, there's so much that goes into when you have a platform, when it reaches a certain level, who's in charge and who's controlling what, you know? And people seem to have this idea that money cures everything, even though the Bible does say money answers all things, but it actually, in a lot of areas, it does not. He's like, well, like Mona, her take is, like you said, I'm paying them well. I'm changing their lives. But you're destroying so many other lives. My kids, I tell my kids all the time, they're adult women. I said, y'all just start watching these reality shows because it's not reality. I said, all those women are friends. When that camera goes off, they go to lunch together. They go to dinner together. Their kids go to the same daycare. I know. I see them, okay? Met them. They're friends. They don't really hate each other. And when you see them in the airport and they do something, that's a publicity stunt. They're just doing it
right.
So they know people recognize who they are. And we cannot, as black women, as women, period, we cannot pattern ourselves after that. Because if you say something negative, the thunder is really loud, but if you say something negative to a man, to your child, to your mom, to your boss, you're going to suffer some consequences. It won't be no cut if you leave stage right.
Right.
And that's what we have to understand about what ourselves, like what is it that makes us tick? And then let's say you take the time to do that. You take the time to find out, okay, I need help with this. Recognizing it, knowing what to do, and getting it done. Those are three totally different concepts.
Yep.
And you have to be able to admit that you have a problem. In our culture, and Greg, I know you can attest to this, we don't like the idea of being crazy. We don't like the idea of being insane. We don't like the idea of being mentally unstable and unsound. We don't like that as a culture. But because of the culture we're living in, because of the country we're living in, spirits transfer. People, you have to understand, energy transfers. You know, when lightning hits the water, the energy of the lightning is in that water. So when you are birds of a feather flock together, so we're in this culture with all these other ethnicities, backgrounds and stuff, and their belief system is different from ours, but because they control the system, we take on some of their beliefs, and it's destroying us, because it's not our natural way of being, and we know something is wrong. You know, when females, we know if we got a good man, he's a nice guy, and some of y'all are very disrespectful, and you call him soft. He's not soft. He's just not tagging your behind. He's not pitching a fit and fighting over little mundane stuff. I can tell you for myself, being in a relationship with someone who is always mad, being in a relationship with a man that will wake up the entire house at 1 o'clock in the morning when he gets home from work, wanting to know who left a glass on the counter. He's mad at someone at work, and he comes to fight you.
Wow.
And then wants to turn around 30 minutes later and make love. Are you kidding? lock the kids in the closet. Are you kidding me? Yeah, and some women do not have the intestinal fortitude to get out. There's something in them that makes them stay there and continue to allow themselves to be hurt. But the one that I guess the female I'm talking to today, are you the one that's doing the abusing? Because you're not happy. Are you the one starting the fight? Are you the one starting the argument? Are you the one walking out? Are you the one cheating? Because, you know, people are like, well, the men cheat anyway. That's what men do. You know, if a woman cheats, that's a problem. If a man cheats, that's a problem. If a woman cheats, that's a problem. If you start an argument, that's a problem. It's not normal. We are vessels of love. But we've been created, like, we've been created in love to be vessels of love, but we've been cultured in this society to be instruments of hate. That's the thing. I know people like, oh, yeah, I got a bunch of haters. It's like, yeah, I know they're hating on me, this, that, and the third. And even Cat Williams, he comes up like, look, if you ain't getting no haters, you ain't doing something right. Harmony is never popular, you know? But in reality, you need harmony in your life. And the first person you need harmony with is yourself. You're never going to have harmony with anyone, until you have a harmonic relationship with yourself. And, you know, we go through things as children. Yes, yes, honey. We go through things as children. And that's not our fault. And it may very well be somebody else's doing or fault or blame that you are where you are today. Because it happens. Because people are evil, people are twisted, people are hurting, people are mad. But whose fault is it for you to stay that way? Because your greatest point of power, and Greg, help me out, your greatest point of power is when you realize you have a problem. As long as you're in the dark and you don't know you have a problem, you don't know you have a weakness, you can't help yourself. You can't get help. But once you realize, like, dang, I am full of drama. I am a chaotic, as you say, bitch. You know what I'm saying? What's wrong with me?
Right.
Everybody's telling me I look like a queen. I got certain guys calling me queen. I don't feel like a queen. My mom didn't call me queen. She called me trash. My daddy, or the teacher at school, told me I'd never be nothing. I'll never succeed. And I hear those words every time I fail. And you talk about loving myself. I don't even like myself. I don't even know who I am. You want me to love somebody I don't even know? You know what I'm saying? I don't go through people's mind. Yeah, so,
yeah.
Expound on that.
Yeah, there are a lot of women, especially, who need to really rediscover who they are. And in doing that, sometimes it takes you doing things that are uncomfortable, like going back and viewing your childhood, figuring out what happened. Like something happened along my journey of life to disconnect me from who I am. Because on average, most people are happy children, for the most part, on average.
But there are some...
who may have had a disconnect that early. And if that's the case, it takes going back to the point of disconnection to be able to figure out, okay, how can I move forward from now? But the issue is, what happens is we exist in the moment. And for a lot of women, like you mentioned and you said, that if you realize what your problem is, that's the beginning of moving forward. I agree with you. But the problem is, a lot of women are looking for a man to help them deal with who they are.
Right.
Like, I need a man in my life to help me deal with me. And the problem with that is you are now making this man your God. And I understand that everybody may not be religious, and I get that. But even if you're not, you're still making this man a god in your life, because
right.
you are relying on him to make you self-sufficient, to make you happy. And at the end of the day, if your source of happiness is dependent upon him, then what you have is conditional happiness. And what you're saying
exactly.
is, I will only be happy under the parameters of having a man in my life. So therefore,
right.
when you move forward in a relationship, you can never truly be happy, because when this man does something that's outside of the box, then you can't take it. You get upset, you don't know how
yeah.
to move forward, and you
right.
and you almost broke down. So a lot of women really need to kind of reevaluate where they are and figure out, okay, what has happened to make me not have the right view of who I am? But you got to think, that's hard for most black women to do. And it's hard because we spend so much time telling black women that all of your problems are a black man's fault. So
oh,
therefore,
my God. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
They can
yes.
never take any kind of accountability for what
for
they're
their
doing
lives.
In their own life.
Right.
Like, let me
right.
tell you, something that really bugs me is that I see a whole lot of women who have 5, 6, 7 children and no husband. And different baby's fathers, and you are so hard
right.
on men, and I'm sitting here like, but you made the decision 7 times.
7 times.
To do the same thing that left you in this predicament, but something wrong
right.
with him, something wrong with you.
Right.
Don't get
exactly.
me wrong, a man needs to be a father. That's no excuse for him. But what I'm saying
right.
is, at the end of the day, it is a woman who is left to deal with these children if that man
right.
is not to be there. So if
right.
that's the
exactly.
case, you better be smart about who you allow in your tabernacle. And that's just the God's
oh,
honest
man.
Truth. But we spend
right.
so much time telling you, oh, you know what? You know what? You know, you're a queen. You know, you don't deserve this, X, Y, and Z. Here's the thing. You are supposed to be a queen. But if you're
right.
not living up to that, then you're not manifesting royalty. My thing is,
right.
you know, and for those who are Christian singles, they spend too much time talking about you want a husband, but you don't want to be a virtuous wife. Because that Proverbs 31 is a deep passage, and that kind of woman is a bad mamma jamma. And if you study that and learn how to be that, then you would realize you don't have time to worry about what this man is or is not doing, because you're trying to be this type of woman. And that kind of woman doesn't even give attention to a suspect man. But
exactly.
you got women who are not Christian. It's the same thing. My thing is, you know, you talk about what a man should be in your life, but what are you manifesting that will make a great man want to be with you?
Exactly.
And nobody ever checks women, ever.
No, I mean, they don't, because we have been cultured. I mean, think about it, Greg. We've been cultured to be the wife, to be at home, take care of the kids and all this other stuff. And I think it's a raw deal both for the men and for the women, quite frankly, in my opinion, that old model. And some people can adhere to it and they like it. And if you do, that's fine. But I think every woman needs to know who they are, and I keep saying that, and I know it sounds redundant, and I'm going to keep saying it till it gets in your mind. You need to find out who you are. You need to introduce you to yourself. You need to find
yep.
out who the chick is. You need to, you know,
yep.
we cannot expect someone outside of us to make us feel and be what who's on the inside of us is not doing. You're not allowing God, and I know everybody don't call it God. They call it other names or whatever. Whatever your higher power is going to help you get to whatever. We know. I know it's the same power. It's only one God. It's only one. Okay, you can call them whatever you want to. Cultures or whatever. We got different names or whatever form, but the character is the same, so I know it's God. And until you get in touch with yourself, I mean, maybe they've always told you your favorite color is blue, but in actuality, your favorite color is mauve. It's not pink. Is not, you know, just try to really take some time out. And if you don't know, go experiment, doggone it. Go on YouTube go Google, get a magazine, go to Barnes & Noble, go to the library. I know a lot of people don't do that. You know, go to the store, go to the nice side of town, go to the bad side of town. Get a look at the world you're in and figure out what it is you like and what you don't like. And then once you come to that conclusion, figure out how you need to change the weak areas, because everybody got a weak area. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's 100. Nobody is there. Even if you're close to 100, you can do better. That means you have the potential. If you're on 100, that means you have the potential to be 200. And you should always want to be the best you that you can be. Not being the best Oprah or the best Will Smith or the best Lindor or the best Greg. Be the best you. What does that look like? What does that feel like? And when you're comfortable with yourself, tell you, it's been a journey for me. When you're comfortable with yourself, there's nothing anybody outside of you can say or do to throw you off kilter. Hey, you know, it's nothing. Because, you know, those of you who track with me, you know, I've had a journey. The youngest of 23 kids and fussing and arguing with them just about every day. Some of my sisters that I argue with the most, we've been trying for the past couple of years now to just be all right. We took a 3-year hiatus from each other. Christmas, hey, how you doing? Pleasantries. That's it. I haven't gone to any family gatherings because I can't take it. And I know me. I know my weaknesses. I know my barriers, my parameters, and I operate within them. I have nothing to prove to nobody, nobody to impress, only God to please. I'm working on myself. Okay, so we were talking just yesterday. And she was saying some things like she always says, like she always pushes my buttons and stuff, and I didn't react. She said, I know you don't want to hear it. I said, no, I said, I'm not agreeing or disagreeing. I'm just listening. I'm not fighting because I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight because I know who I am. I don't care what she said. I don't want to fight because I know who I'm not. I don't care what she said. You can say whatever you like. I know me. And I'm good with me. So when you female that, like Greg said, you're looking for someone outside of you to make you happy, that will never happen. Someone can help you on your journey that you've taken to make you happy. If you know, let's say you know you like, I don't know, German chocolate cake. I don't date myself because I like German chocolate cake, okay? But if you know that's what you like, then you're with someone who likes something else or don't like sweets at all. That may not be the person for you. You know, and I always speak in relationships because that's what makes this world go around, love. And what's destroying the world is a lack of thereof, lack of self-love, lack of brotherly love, lack of sisterly love, lack of humanity, love. And you cannot, you will not love anybody until you love yourself. And some of y'all don't even like yourself. I went through that. I didn't like me. Because everything everybody said about me growing up, I mean, think about it. These youngest are 23 people growing up with 12 of them. The rest of them had died off by the time I came along. So you grow up, and you got all these people telling you, you're dumb, you're stupid, you ain't never amount to nothing, you're short, you're fat, you're dark, you're this, you're that. You know, and the only somebody that really accepted me was my mom. My dad, he's stuck in the era, so he can't really relate to the girls the way he wants to, because men ain't supposed to relate to girls. They're supposed to stick with the boys, okay? So then I'm feeling rejected by my dad. So you bring that into adulthood. And the minute somebody says, you're dumb or you're stupid, all it's doing is reinforcing what you heard as a child growing up. And then when a man rejects you, it reinforces the fact that your dad appeared to reject you. OK? because he's not there. He's not connected. Y'all are not communicating. And that's something I think, I believe wholeheartedly, that black women in particular, women all together, but, you know, speaking to the sisters, is something you really need to painfully look at. That was hard for me to look at. It took me years to get through all of it. There were many nights I just cried. I cried in anger because I didn't change. I cried in frustration because people didn't believe I had changed. I cried because I was lonely. I cried so much, and so many times I wanted to take myself out because it seemed like there was no use. But God always stepped in, and God always had a ram in the bush, and I'm always grateful for that. And some of you guys today, I'm your ram in the bush. Amen. Yes. God, can run around this parking lot. some of you guys, we're your ram in the bush tonight. You don't need permission to change. You don't need permission to be great. You don't need permission to heal, to be delivered, to be whatever vision that God put in your mind and in your heart. You don't need permission for none of that. And if you did need permission, I'm going to give you. Go ahead and be great. Go ahead and be healed. Go ahead and be unbroken. So many of you are so broken. There's no way you're going to be able to sustain the one. You're broken. Can you imagine sitting in a broken chair? And how would that feel if you managed to sit your behind in the broken chair? How comfortable would you feel? How secure would you feel? You're not comfortable because you're a broken chair. It's time to get some healing. Greg, go ahead. I feel like I'm going to preach.
Well, no, you're spot on about that whole thing about being broken. And the interesting thing about brokenness is that you can have a broken chair that does not look like it's broken. And what we do with things in our house sometimes that are broken is that we know how to fix. We know how to, like, situate these things and set them up like they hold. And we even know ourselves how to sit in that chair without that chair breaking because know where it's weak.
Yes.
So what happens is in life, we sometimes know that something is wrong. But we are not ready to admit that we're broken, so we just fix ourselves up against the wall in life like we're not broken. So now we know how to function in our dysfunction. But what happens is, whether it's a romantic relationship, a friendship, or whatever it is, they come into our life, they don't know that you're broken. When they begin to sit or deal with you in an area where you're broken and they don't know it, and you fall apart, what you do is make it their fault. Because have been used to dealing with you, and you know you're broken, so you say, well, you should know it too. You never told them. So when they sit on you the wrong way, and you break all the way down, now you say it's your fault. It's not their fault. It is your fault because you did not have the time to fix yourself with the help of God or a good counselor or both.
Come on.
At the end of the day, brokenness, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm going to stay on women because it's about women. And again, women for so long have only been told the good about themselves that they don't know how to face the ugly. You know what I'm saying?
And it's like
society as a whole, I'm talking about all women now. Like, we really don't tell women that, you know, well, you know what, this may be your fault. We teach it's a man's fault. And we don't teach them how to be accountable to things. Now, it ain't every woman, but a lot of women. That's why you think you got millennials today, and even women in their 30s and early 40s, they blame everything on everybody else. And even with other women. Right, you got women who say, I don't trust other women. I can't deal with other women or women like this. Well, the reality is what a lot of women don't like about other women is the same thing that your man or your past man didn't like about you. But again, sometimes
like
they can't face themselves. Sometimes
right.
they ain't ready to deal with admitting that. So it's like you find the fault with every other woman, and you don't realize with that, you know what, I might be a little bit broken. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If your habit is making everything in your life is wrong, a man's fault or somebody else's fault, you would never look in the mirror and say, you know what, there is something wrong with me. And it's me. Because
right.
the common denominator is you.
Right.
But if you don't bring yourself to a point of being able to realize, you know what, I know I wanna be a queen. I wanna be, you know, a virtuous woman. But how do you become that? Because at this present moment, your life might not be set up for you to be that.
Exactly. And you know, and for you guys who are wondering how you become that, you know, going inside introspectively and looking at yourself, and like Greg and I say, we believe in the power of the Most High God. We believe, I know I could not, no way possible, be who I am without him. You know, whether y'all call him a him or her, it doesn't matter. I wouldn't be who I am. I wouldn't be here sound physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, physically without him. And when you pray, you know, it's one thing to pray now. Say, pray. But you got to know what prayers to pray. And I had to come to the realization, I'm praying. Yes, I'm praying. But I'm not getting the results I want. If you don't have a good understanding of the vocabulary to use or whatever, because it's very important. You know, it's like, so well, God knows what I want. He knows what you want. He knows what you need. But have you decided? Have you made a decision? Have you made a choice? Because at the point that you make a decision and a choice, I know for myself, everything changes that instant. The instant you decide, I'm going to be better, everything changes. And there's, when I decided 30 days ago, no, 60 days ago, I said, God, connect me to the right people to do your purpose. I'm in my 50s now. I don't have time to play. You know, when you're young, you don't think about death. You don't think about not making it. Even in my suicidal tendencies, I wasn't thinking about reaching 50. I'm 51. I had a birthday last year, okay? So, I'm 51. My mind then was on, God, you created me for a purpose. You created me for a destiny. I never saw myself in my mind single at this age. So, obviously, along the way, there's some mishaps I've had. So, something I'm doing is wrong. So, the only thing I could think of is God connect me to the right people. Now, in saying that prayer, I did not realize, I kid you not, I did not realize that it connected me to the right people. He's going to disconnect me from the wrong ones. I had no idea I lose my best friend. Oh, my God. I had no idea certain family members would turn on me. I had no idea. But for the purpose of me reaching where I need to be and becoming the woman that I want to become to attract the man that I want to attract, I have to change. You have to set up a different infrastructure to support your dreams, to support your goals, to support your highest self. Who is your highest self? What would your highest self do? What would your highest self say? What would your highest self look like? And once you decide you're going to be your highest self, you're not it when you decide you're going to be it, okay? So don't think you can get to this point and then decide that's what. No, you have to decide that this is what is going to take place. And God and everything else connected to you will shift. People will leave your life. You don't even have to do anything too much. They'll leave your life. Let them go. Become your best you. Become happy. Become at peace. Stop creating drama. Stop all the theatrics. Be honest. You're not happy. Be honest. You don't like things a certain way. It's no point in destroying something you don't like. Just let it go. Because somebody else is going to enjoy it. Don't. If you don't like this man, let him go. I even say this to women who have children. Before you beat them up and neglect them and starve them, don't give them to grandma. Give them to daddy. Give them to a family that's going to take care of them and love them and give them what they deserve. And you're going to get yourself healing. You're going to get yourself in your right mind and become a better person. There's no point in being destructive. Because you're not happy. Because at the end of everything that you've destroyed, you're still not happy. You're still not content. You're still not stable. You're still not. So why waste all the time, the energy, the resources? Go ahead and get yourself together. Okay, Greg? I feel like I'm fussing. You go ahead and talk.
You mentioned people getting tired of praying because their prayers aren't answered. I think that is a bigger conversation than you think. When you talk about prayer, a lot of folk don't realize that the reason that their prayers are not getting answered is because you're praying trying to change God's mind. That ain't the point of prayer. Mm. The point of prayer is to put you inside of God's will. That's why the Lord's Prayer says, on earth as it is in heaven, meaning that you got to pray as it is on earth as it is in heaven. We don't do that. We pray about trying to change God's mind. And then when you talk about the desires of our heart, a lot of times what we end up doing is that we end up settling for the desires of our mind and not our heart. Because we end up praying to God, you pray to God for the desire of your mind, because you're not letting God really hear your heart, because you're not speaking your heart, because you don't believe that you can actually have those things. So you end up settling for what your mind conjures up, and that's what you pray for. And we don't realize how much our prayer lives sometimes are chaotic, because we're praying trying to change God's mind. That's never going to work, because if it did work, you would be God. And we don't realize that we don't pray the right way. You know, if we really got inside of the heart of God and pursued the heart of God and started praying in the will of God, you will see your prayers then begin to manifest. Because as long as you pray outside of God's will, you're going to be outside of God's will. And whether you're praying for a boo, a bae, or the right career, or anything, we're praying outside of God's will, expecting something to happen. And that is not the way that it works. And my thing is, you know, for those who are getting discouraged about, you know, I haven't met the right one, or I haven't found my purpose, or I'm not in the right career, I would strongly suggest that you take a step back, and if you've been praying about this, consider what you've been saying to God, and consider, you know, like a lot of young adults struggle with finding their purpose. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
in life,
right.
and they don't really know, first of all, what their purpose is, so they can't find it. And my thing is, we don't spend enough time as single people pursuing something that's not love. If you're only pursuing love as a single person, that's why you ain't found it.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about God, talking about romantic love with a person. My thing is, as a single person, you have hopes, you have dreams, you have desires, you have things you desire to accomplish in life, you have a purpose that sometimes goes unfulfilled, and it is not until your passion meets your gift that your purpose can be birthed. And a lot of people, we don't spend time cultivating our gift. We don't spend time operating in what I'm passionate about. So therefore, you go through life and you just exist in your talents and not your actual purpose. And it's like, you know, when you wander through life like that, then you're waiting again for something to come into your life and to make you happy, to make you fulfilled.
Right.
When until you operate in your purpose, you will never be fulfilled. Because being married is not your purpose. It's not. Now, God might have purposed marriage for you, but marriage is not your purpose. You have a purpose in life that God needs you to discover. At the end of the day, one of the biggest reasons that single men and single women can't find each other, and this is for those who are Christian, is because we're trying to find each other, but we're not searching for the secret place of the Most High God.
And the Bible
says that you have to pursue the secret place of the Most High God, and that He will shield you under the shadow of the Almighty. And then you can say that He's your refuge, your fortress, and put your trust in Him. Well, see, what happens is we put our trust in people, and people
right.
continue to let you down. You become further disappointed. Yeah, every
right.
single time. So it's like, if we learn how to, as a man and a woman, seek the secret place of the Most High God, then it no longer becomes about trying to find a man or find a woman, trying to find a place. If you find the same place in God, then I will discover you in the presence of God. I don't worry then about, are you the one? God introduced us. And so we don't break stuff down sometime and realize, stop seeking people and seek the place in God and meet in the same place.
Now, I agree with that wholeheartedly, and at the same time, I have to be realistic because, like, I hear people now, I'm listening. And it's like, there are a lot of people in church. And, ladies, you might have to realize this. You might be in the wrong church if you haven't met him yet. Or you may be just in the wrong place, and he may be in the wrong place. And that comes with just listening and knowing. And a lot of people, like you said, we haven't broken it down. There is a method to the madness now, but we haven't broken it down to people, and sometimes when we break it down for people, it's impalatable. I know for me, it was very impalatable. Y'all can keep that. I don't want that. And it wasn't until God himself had to show me. God himself had to speak, you know, and it's not easy. It's not. You know, and that's where the education come in, the programming and everything that we talked about before. That's where all that comes in. And some people can make religion, the Bible, God, they can make all that stuff so impalatable when it's the greatest thing ever. That's the greatest love ever. That's the greatest joy ever. That's the greatest peace ever. But because we don't make it palatable, people can't eat from the table. You understand? For us who've been in the walk a long time, it's easy for us. It's easier for us. It's not always easy. And for those who are not, it's not as simple. Because it's not. Because it makes a person feel like they're doomed if they don't do it our way. And what I want to say is, your way of connecting to God, that's your way, as long as you get connected. I feel that there are a lot of people that have a successful life or whatever, healthy self-image and everything. They feel they did without God. But everything good that comes to you is from God. You may not acknowledge that it's God, like inspirational speakers and motivational speakers. All they do is take the Bible and don't give you a scripture reference. That's all they do. They all read the Bible. But they just give it to you without the scripture reference to go with it. And they don't say, well, God said this and God said that. So they're trying to make it a little bit more palatable to you. It's the same piece of broccoli, y'all. It's the same piece of chicken. We just dressed it differently. You know how some people can make good macaroni and cheese and some can't? you know, it's just not palatable. We have to make it palatable, you know. And, you know, Mia is on. How you doing, Ms. Mia?
What's tonight?
So good to have you with us. We at 8 o'clock. We entered 8 o'clock hour. Okay, so as you know, we're talking about women being in conflict with themselves. So I want to do a song. Give us a little bit of a break for a second, and then we'll come back. Greg, are you going to be able to stay on for the second hour, or you got to dip out? Well, I know you got stuff to do.
Oh, I was going to yield the floor to the young lady. I don't want to take her time.
Okay, well, you're going to stay on, though, right?
Yeah, I'll be listening.
Okay. Okay, we're going to do a song. Yay, thank you, Greg. Okay, so we're going to do a song right now, and then we'll come back, and we're going to talk with Miss Mia and get her wisdom. She's been at this a long time, so I like this right here. Okay? We'll be back in just a moment, ladies and gentlemen.
In your flame, but your regimen of loving her is still the same. Forgotten holidays, forsaken little things. It means so much to her, but you let it slip away like a gambler's game. You're risking.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes. I love that. That's Joe. So one of my favorite artists, old school artists, you know what I'm saying? I heard that song the other day. I thought, okay, we're going to put this on the show. Because it's a very appropriate song if you lose her. Because there are some good women out there. And everybody listening to the show is a good woman, a good man. And we deserve to be together. Amen. So, now, moving on with the show. We have Miss Mia Daniels. How you doing, darling?
Doing wonderful. Doing wonderful. How's everybody tonight?
Everybody's doing good. The gentleman on the show, let me introduce you. This is Gregory Duvall. He's my co-host for the show. He's been on the show several times as a guest, but he's so wonderful. I just want him back all the time. So he's been a little busy, so he's with us tonight. And I think you guys are pretty compatible with your message. That's why I kind of like one both of y'all. So you want to say hey to Greg?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello, Greg.
Hey, how are you? How are you?
Doing wonderful, thank you.
Okay.
Pleasure to meet you.
You too.
Okay. All right. So now, pushing right along. Hey, so Mia, the first hour, you know, we were talking about women getting in touch with themselves in order not to have conflict with themselves. Now, on the last show, Mia, you brought up a very good point. And even though we were talking about matrimony and relationships and whatnot, because you've been married a very long time to an awesome man, you guys have an awesome relationship. You said something about social media and how you don't know how to deal with the person when you meet the person in real life. Now, on the female side, what do you see that women could do? Because I say, you know, of course, a woman has to get in touch with herself, recognize who she is and who she's not, and what she likes and what she does not, and it'll make her relationship stronger and better with those around her when she's stronger and better with herself. And Greg, you know, he gave his perspective. What's your perspective on women who have conflicts with themselves?
Women that tend to have conflict with themselves if because they're not confident in who they are. They're
okay.
Used to being they're probably used to being told by somebody else who they are instead of really finding out who they are.
Exactly.
So,
I agree. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. We've been talking.
No. So confidence just knowing it is, I mean, it's just something that you build early on in life. It has to be that you know exactly who you are, what your likes and dislikes are, and you don't allow people to veer you from how you view yourself and don't let society dictate how you view yourself.
So someone who has done that, though, can you give some steps onto how to undo it? I mean, as an older woman, talk to some. Cause I'm looking at my messages here. Cause we have some females my age, your age, and older than us, surprisingly, are going through this. How do you stop a lifetime of doing this?
Well, it starts by learning how to do things for and by yourself without the expectation that you have to have someone to do that with you. So when you learn to be able to do things by yourself, it builds a confidence and you prove to yourself that I can do this. I don't have to have, my cheerleading squad here to tell me that it's okay, what I'm wearing is okay, or how I look or how I wear my hair. It's about doing something and genuinely within yourself knowing that you are comfortable with doing it in a respectable manner.
Okay. Well, okay, I have a question now.
Okay.
Okay, so you're saying do it yourself, but And I understand the backdrop. You know, we don't know who we are. We're not comfortable with who society, the family, the friends, and everybody say that we are. And we're trying to become this other person.
Right.
Would you need some help from somebody? I mean, I know you can't get somebody there to hold your hand the entire step of the way, but wouldn't you need some type of model or vision or picture or something to move towards?
Yes. But what are you modeling and what are you visioning? What are you modeling after that's in front of you? Because just because you have friends don't mean you want to model everything that they do either.
I mean, right. We're talking about the old friends. We're talking about becoming this new person. We're talking about becoming this new vessel, this new woman that's not chaotic, that's not problematic, that's not anxiety-ridden and argumentative and, like Greg said, competitive, competing with the man. Because men don't like a woman that compete with them, just as women don't like men that compete with them either. But,
I would say that the first and foremost thing that we need to do for people that are walking with Christ, the number one thing is to trust God over anything, over anybody. Trust God, because God is going to be your number one character builder. For those people that are like on the line and it's just like, you know, I've been hurt by the church or I'm not certain, I see Christians doing this, it's about exposing yourself to the right Christian, the real Christians, not people, the wannabes. You want to have God first, and then when you have God, everything else will fall in place. We just have to be in a divine order when we do things. The Word of God gives us every law that we should live by, but we still want to make up rules as we go that he didn't give us. So when we start stepping outside of what God has already put into play for us, that's where we run into problems of not being sure about who we are or trying to be like somebody else that's over here or over there. And then we pick up all of these spirits from all these different people that aren't where they need to be themselves. So it's about trusting God first and asking God to give you the directive that you need to know who you are.
Okay. And that's very true. Greg, I want you to chime in on this in just a second. And for those of you out there, because I know a lot of you are not Christians, a lot of you are not in church. A lot of you, like Missy just said, have been church hurt gravely.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want anything to do with Christians. You don't want anything to do with the church or God.
Right.
Just be real with it. You think God is like the worst ever. You'll never trust him. You'll never believe in him. You'll never serve him because of your experiences and the hurt that you have endured. And I apologize on behalf of the body of Christ for the pain you endured, because realize that no one's perfect. And even though we're in church, the church is really a big hospital. And we all kind of like nursing on each other through the Word of God. And I've been church hurt before, and I'm here to tell you, that's a devastating thing. And I grew up in church. I mean, when I grew up, I mean, I was born in church practically. My dad was a deacon. My mom was a deaconess. You know, I'm up speaking, and the rest of the family is singing because I wasn't a singer, okay? But, you know, I've been church hurt. And I took a break. I took a 6-month break. I'm not going. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I took a break. But during that time, I took a break from church, but I didn't take a break from God. And I know that sometimes when you're going through things, you will take a break from both God and the church.
Yeah.
And when you can get to a place, what helped me through it all, because like I said, I didn't move away from God, I just moved away from the church. I just stayed in my Bible.
Right.
I became God's student one-on-one. not through the pastor, not through the church, not through other people's interpretation of the good book, but just using my own understanding and asking God to make it plain to me, I just put myself in my Bible. And I look for scriptures that were pertinent, one, to the heart that I'm dealing with, two, for the situation that I'm dealing with, and three, the person that I was dealing with.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, Greg, step in on that one.
You talk about church hurt. You know, in regard to church hurt, I think people have to learn how to take the labels off of things and just call it what it is. It's hurt.
All right.
Because when we talk about church hurt, church becomes an easy scapegoat for a lot of people because they automatically expect the people inside of the church to be perfect. But what we fail to realize is that if Jesus died for the church, then that means that the church is people because Jesus died for people. So we got to understand that people are not perfect. People are flawed, and the same folk that hurt you at work are the same folk that hurt you at the church or anywhere else. But I don't hear what hurt to stop expecting the church to be what it would never be. If hurt is real, it is. Hurt is real. But we have to realize the same way when somebody outside of the church community hurts you, there are things that we do to rectify or to heal or to reconcile these things. With the church, we don't take the same steps. We just disconnect because we expect that the people inside of the church to be perfect when these are the same people inside of your church, some of those folk in the club, in the party,
Amen.
At your job.
Yeah, anyway.
So those same people are capable of the same kind of behavior. And we got to realize that there are people who are characters in the Bible who have wronged people, you know what I'm saying? But we still honor and respect these people for who the Bible says that they are.
Right.
But if we look at their sin or their wrong, we would have every reason not to trust them or not to look at their life as an example of how to live. So, you know, hurt is real, but we got to learn how to take these little labels off of stuff because it's a scapegoat and an excuse is what it is
that's
for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's true.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Okay, so
now, I know y'all seen the trending story now with Leandra Johnson, you know, those videos she put out, you know, saying F the church and the gospel singer, Leandra Johnson.
Yeah, again.
A few days ago. Yeah, I mean, she's talking about F the church, and she talked about Bishop Marvin Winans, and he was talking about how the church is all this politics, and, you know, the folk really ain't saved, and, you know what I'm saying, and how, you know, the church is a big scam. You know, this is somebody who, now, she had a church in Atlanta. You were the self-proclaimed pastor. The problem with a lot of people, now her, she ain't got no pastor, it's her problem. But there are a lot of people who you need to get in connection with the right man or woman of God.
Right.
So they can cover you and teach you some stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you got a lot of people, you can be in the wrong church. It doesn't make it a bad church, but you can be in the wrong church. That, you know, is not getting through to you and to how you are. And that's how a lot of folk fall through the cracks to end up getting broken or further broken because they're not in a place that can facilitate healing.
That's right.
Exactly. And that's a very, very, very good point. You know, when we're talking about, you know, going into ourselves as women, hurting women, chaotic women, finding that listening ear, because I've been in churches where, you know, I confided in the pastor, you know, and the next thing I know, all my business, everybody in the church, you know, everybody sitting on the pew, you know, folks coming from other churches know what's going on. I'm like, okay, well, that certainly is not it, you know, and it's a matter of knowing what's right and what's wrong. We really got to get away from my truth, your truth, and all this other stuff. You know, there's only one truth. There's one right. There's one wrong. Period.
Right. But just like what Greg just said, he says self-proclaimed. When people put themselves in positions and titles, and then people follow those things because it sounds good or sounds right at the time, and then when there's a big mess of things, everybody is like in awe or in shock.
Right.
Yep.
You know, and that's very true. I mean, we are in awe, we are in shock, but, you know, the Bible says to follow the leader as long as the leader is following God, which means you have to know what God is. You have to know, okay, like I said, you have to know what's right and what's wrong, you know, in order to get what you need. And when I saw that this church that I was involved with, a member of, serving in, was not conducive for what I needed, the pain that I was going through, the issues I was dealing with, I moved to another church. And some of you may have to do that. You know, some of you women may have the luxury of getting a counselor. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with getting some help. In our culture, like I said earlier, there's a big stigma against mental illness. But because of where we are, that's it's becoming more prevalent. Because we're adopting other cultures' way of dealing with stuff, it's not our way. Because generally, we pray about it. We go tell Big Mama, Big Daddy, somebody. They pray with us, teach us how to pray, give us hope and belief and faith, and we learn that way. But we're not doing that anymore.
No.
We're not. Go ahead.
No, the structure of things is certainly not the way it used to be, and it makes a huge difference because, again, people more respond now differently. They don't want to follow the order of things. What is the old saying? It's all these chiefs are not enough Indians. People are title and position driven now, and just because someone is in a position doesn't mean that God put them there.
Yeah, that's true. And it doesn't really matter what the position is, whether it's in the pulpit or on a job or entrepreneur or anything.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
You can take a position because you're free. You're free to make the choices. It may not be the best choice or even the right choice for you. You know, and maybe God did say, you know, someone will end up being a millionaire or whatever, but he didn't say it was going to happen today.
Right.
You know, he could be showing you your future, what your destiny is, but you still have to take that process. You still have to get on that journey. You still have to walk that road. You still have to show up for the battle. Even though the battle is won, you still have to show up for the fight. And
right.
When it comes to us, I think of a lot of us, we out of fear, you know. I'm not going to bash us. Men or women, I'm not going to bash us. Because of the fear of what we've been through. Okay, go ahead. You
want to say something? Women, you know, one of the things, too, we as women, we tend to be creatures of emotion. So we tend to respond, think, and react according to emotions a lot of times versus the logic behind what our action and our reaction should be, too.
That's true. We're very emotional. I guess that's because we carry the children. You know, you have to be kind of like emotionally attached to them.
Natural nurturers. We are natural nurturers. So everybody is not designed that way, though. Not all women are designed that way. Even, you know, the emotional aspect, but not all women are designed that way. And that's what makes the difference when we look at women that are powerful, that are running corporations. Those women have disconnected from the norm of what emotion would be. Women that are stay-at-home moms are still in their own right. It's just like a corporate leadership at home because they have to take charge of the household.
Right.
But then you'll have some women that they kind of check out and just say, wow, this is just too much. They couldn't handle it one way or the other because their emotions tend to take over and leave them. And then they really don't know where they belong.
That's true. And I believe that really does create a lot of conflict, too, because you may be a housewife when actually you may actually be an administrative assistant and you need to put the kids in daycare for a little while you go do this and fulfill this part of your life. Or you may be in the corporate world working a job,
right,
entrepreneur, where you need to be at home nurturing your kids because that's where you fit. But
right,
unless you're honest with yourself,
exactly,
with what you want and what you don't want, you're not going to get it.
We as women...